The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Okay, here we go on this, what is this day? The 22nd day of January, the Two-Man Game Podcast with UNC head coach Steve Smiley. I am Brady Hull. Coach, my friend, how you doing, man? An interesting middle part of the season for the Bears.
Yeah, you know, if you keep it on basketball, I mean, it's you know, it's been interesting, you know, not only that, you know, we're 1-6 in league, and no one would probably have predicted that, including myself. It's interesting to see, like, how many people reach out and, like, hey, are you doing good? How's your mental health? Like, which I really appreciate. And
do you appreciate it, but is there also kind of a part, like, yeah, I'm okay. Like, I'm all right.
You don't want to get babied through this stuff.
Right.
But like, you know, in the sense, like, people care. Like,
yeah.
And again, it's, you know, it's not life and death. But I treat it as such sometimes. Like, let's just be real about it. Like, you know, the winning and losing. And then, you know, I think as you try to reflect on some of the stuff, it's like one of the things when you coach or play is like, can you play with a lead? In the sense of like, when you're winning, can you be humble? Can you not, you know, just live off the scoreboard, right? Like we always talk about, like, can you just try to get better? I think we do a pretty good job of that. But like, man, when you're losing and losing and losing, Can you play when you're not in the lead, right? Can you stay the course and the process? That's harder for me. You know, the losing just it just rips me apart. It just does. And I'd be lying if I said it doesn't. You know, it's on the non-basketball side, like, you got to keep – this can't consume your life, right? Like, you got to be a good dad. You got to be a good husband. You got to do those things. And I think that's good. But – yeah, the basketball thing's been goofy, and you know, I think too we have created, I don't want to say a monster, but like we've created this thing, like, you know, going back to, like, we haven't been in a situation for 3 or 4 years, and going back to the year with, you know, Saint, Jaren, DeJour, and so on and so forth, you know, that team was really good, man. We finished second place, chasing the championship the whole time, you know, postseason team, and then that bleeds into the next year, which no one knew at the time, but man, we won 25 games, won a championship, NIT bid. That bleeds into this year. Who knows? Like, all these teams are so different. And next thing you know, you're 9-1. It's the best start in school history. So, like, from second place to first place to, you know, and it's like, hey, and the belief level's high, and I believe we should win. And so then you go from that to when you really look at it, you know, we just finished the second phase. Like, we're going to talk about movies and trilogies. But the trilogy of from 9-1 to 2-8, whoa. And, you know, it's like after we lost Sacramento State, got back, you know, Sunday, crazy, you know, crazy travel, got back late before that Monday game with Montana State, which I was really proud about that. Like, the Montana State thing, I had tremendous peace of mind even after that loss. Played hard, challenged guys to do three things better. Foul game's been a disaster for us. And it's like Sean Miller's came out and did a little thing after they lost Kentucky, and he's like, hey, man, like, you know, 30 or 35 Kentucky, we didn't get ref bad. We fouled too much. And that was our thing, too, and it still is. But, you know, I told the guys we're walking into every game recently down 15-0 because we are the worst team in the league for whatever reason, only in league play. But in league play, we can't get to the free throw line, which is bizarre because that has not been the case all year. So that's a problem. But then we are the foulingest team in the league, which is bizarre. So you literally, when you don't get to free lane and you foul at the highest rate of the league, you're walking in every game down 10-0, 15-0, whatever it is. Then two, I made the guys write all stuff down on the chalkboard. Going back, like, why are we what we are? And you go back, the second is rebounding. And it's the cornerstone of what we do, you know, the do your job and charting it all the way from the first start of practice, June 1st, 80% effort. We talk about this stuff, winning and losing. And I thought early in the year, like, the staff that graded stuff, I thought we were just cheating. In a good way, 83%, 84%. I'm like, this is unbelievable. But we're out rebounding everybody. So go back and I showed the guys. I said, look, okay, Texas Tech, they're literally good enough to win the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
They've shown that. Just beat Duke. just beat BYU. They're as good as it gets. We could have beat them, right? We didn't have full roster. Plus 10 rebounding. We out-rebounded Texas Tech by 10. Couple that with CU. They start 3-4-5, you know, Roncic and Bangad Dak, who's the most athletic guy I've ever seen. Roncic, Bangad Dak, and then Elijah Malone, right? 6'11", 6'10", 6'10". The biggest team maybe in the country.
Yeah.
We out-rebounded them by 12. Punished them. Same team that we're playing, right? Then we got to league play, and in some particular, you know, plus 10, plus 12 against Big 12 teams, quad one teams, potential national, like now, and the Big Sky's been good, but plus 3, plus 2, even, plus 4, minus 15, even. So we were minus 15 in Portland State, could have won the game. We were even against Sacramento State, and going into Montana State, I said, guys, this is not rocket science, right? So going to the Montana State game, we plus 19, and we finally got back to what we were doing. And it did not show in a win or loss, right? It didn't show in a win. It showed, you know, that we still got beat. But I think there are some signs of life. As opposed to Sacramento State getting to the free throw line 38 times, 40 times, Montana State 21 times. So there, I feel like we're trending in the right direction. And then ultimately, yeah, season two, the middle part of the trilogy is over, man, the regular season. It's like, well, you know, it's like 10-game season, you know, you play 31 games, so just call it 10. 9-1 to 2-8 to now, like we're in the final phase, right? And we have to find a way to continue to learn, but we flushed it, man. We literally took those 8 box scores, made Colin put them together, and share all of our little team meeting stuff, but put a picture of a golden plated toilet, right? And now, Phil Jackson, he burned the incense to get rid of the...
the bad vibes or whatever.
He burned the incense to get rid of it. Some other guys take all the stuff, and they put it in a, like a dumpster or trash can and burn it. I was like, well, we probably can't do that because it'll probably set off the fire alarms. So we had a picture of a gold-plated toilet.
Would have been good.
Yeah, it would have been good.
Yeah, good story.
We're in the locker room, day one. I've been here 10 years. Like, that's all. We used to only just be in the locker room. It was gross and grimy. And so we went back to that, and everyone had a hand out of... You know, the 4 box scores on the front page, 4 box scores on the back page, 8 losses, 2-8, 8 losses. I said, guys, there's only one toilet back there. And if we all crumple them up and throw it in the toilet, we're going to flood this place. I'm going to get in trouble. And so I said, Zach, you've won more games than anyone in the history of this program. How about you crumple yours up? Why don't you walk back to that toilet and let's just hear the flush. We're flushing this down. We're moving on. And so that's what we did to finish up. It was great.
I love that stuff. Like,
yeah, you got to find a way.
Sometimes you got to get that mental. I mean, basketball is so much. There's so much mental stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
Sometimes doing that, those kind of things outside, you know, off the floor, can kind of be a way in your brain, almost just clear that away. Because in basketball, it's such a long season, too.
You got to try.
You have to find a way to kind of recalibrate.
Right. Got to try. So, you know, so at the end of the day, it's just at the end of the day, we said, okay, 9-1. I said, kind of go back through it. We didn't pull the schedule. We said, like, how many one possession games? Well, you know, overtime, 4-10 at the buzzer. Let's see here. And we just went through it. We thought of quickly 6, and we were 9-1, 6 one possession games. I said, well, go to this 2-8. Like, we've lost the last 4 at the buzzer, right? Okay, so we lost those at the buzzer, and then we go through it. It's like, okay, well, we beat CU at the buzzer. That's in the second 10. That's 5. And I can't remember who else, but it's like there's at least 6 in the first 10. There's at least 6 in the second 10. The perception, the results are wild. 9-1, 2-8.
Mm-hmm.
6 one possession games. And we got to win those games. But at the same point in time, are we really as bad as we think we are? And I don't think anyone's, you know, losing faith. But you got to be careful with the confidence. You got to find a way to keep the guys believing. You got to find a way to get rid of the bad juju. You got to find a way to flush those box scores down. And so we did it. And, yeah, we got one, you know, it's a Thursday today. We got, you know, one big practice today before we leave tomorrow for Arizona to play Northern Arizona on Saturday. So we got to will ourselves to one here.
Well, Coach, outside of Sac State, I mean, close loss to Portland State, top of the conference.
Yeah.
Close losses to Montana State. Top of the conference.
Yeah.
Montana.
Yeah.
Top
right
of
there.
The, pretty close. You know, Weber State, pretty close. So yeah, we kind of had a feeling this might happen. We just were hoping that you know, close games, the Bears would come out on top of these games. But I guess that's kind of, when I watched this team, I was telling this to Brock Wisney yesterday. I'm no basketball genius, but when I watch this team, if I'm watching 80% of the of just the game, I'm thinking there's no way this team is 1-6.
I know.
In the conference. This is too good of a basketball team. So that's why, you know, when I'm pretty confident just from my standpoint from the teams I watch. There's certain teams I cover where I go, "Yeah, they got a nice win, but I don't know if they're going to be that team this year."
Yeah.
You're the opposite. You're like, there's some tough losses there, 1-6 start. But I just feel like at the end of this thing, we're going to be talking about a much better record in the conference and hopefully avoiding that bottom four spot, which I know is crucial.
Yeah, and it's, we finished the meeting yesterday with, it's just some attainable goals. And it's like, one, be process-based. Like, and that's always our thing. Like, stack days, be process-based. Let's have a great practice. Let's have a great meeting. Let's have a great film session. But just be process-based. There's nothing to blow up here. Right. But get back to a winning program. I said, guys, we got 11 games, 6-5. That's the baseline. Like, we don't need to go 11-0. That's possible. But man, you put that type of pressure, we got to win every. Whoa.
Yeah.
This is to be a winning program. A winning program, 6-5. Let's go to 6-5 in this final third, this final, phase of our season. Now, we could easily go 7-4, 8-3, 9. I believe in you, but let's go 6-5. So we have a realistic goal, and that probably. If you go 6-5, that probably gets you back to that 6 seed, right? Because you do 7, 8, 9, 10, you can still win a championship that way, but you got to win 4 games. So the math says, like, let's not play more games than we need to win a championship. So you got to get to the 6 seed. So let's be a winning program. Let's get to 6-5, which very easily could 7-4, 8-3, who knows, 9-2. But let's just focus on being a winning program. So if we do lose one, it's not the end of the world, but 6-5. And then let's find a way to get to the 6 seed, which you can't control who's winning and losing. But if you don't start winning these games, you ain't getting to the 6 seed, right? So, like, we just got to start finding a way to win these games. And I'm just really proud of the guys, man. Like, their belief, their juice, like, they have not wavered. And a lot of teams can just throw the towel in, and over half the team doesn't play in the game. And we don't have, like, that's where things get hard. It's like, well, it's cool when things are, when we're winning. Like, I can take this smaller role or redshirt or scout, whatever it is. But, man, I feel like the guys are doing a great job of just staying the course. And there's little things that we just got to do a better job of, too. And we're evaluating it. We're, all is not well. But at the same point in time, it's that phrase of, like, disappoint. Yes, I am disappointed. But I'm not discouraged, right? So the guys, fight or flight, man. Fight or flight. Losers, soft human beings, people that aren't tough. It's flight time. It's time to bail. It's time to say, whoa, this just didn't work. Winners, tough people, they fight. And they roll their sleeves up. And I said, at the end of the day, like, if this is the hardest thing you've gone through and you fail at your response, you're going to fail in life. This is where basketball is cool as a mechanism for building character, right? Because it's not fun. But, we did some things yesterday, too. It's like John Gordon has all the leadership books, and our team book this year was Training Camp by John Gordon. That 60-second clip that I've held onto for a while. It's about adversity, and there's, according to a Gallup poll, there's an 80% correlation to human beings. The best event of their life is correlated exactly to the worst event of their life. And I was like, yeah, man, like, this is not the worst thing in your life, but this is the worst basketball thing right now. But what was the best event in Tony Bennett's life, basketball-wise, Virginia?
Yeah.
What do they do?
What do they win? Win it all, right? Yeah, national championship.
What did they do the year before?
Weren't they? They weren't very good the year before, were
they?
No,
they were great. They were a one seed.
Okay.
Guess what, though? That was the team that was the first team in the history of basketball to lose to a 16 seed.
Yeah.
They lost to UMBC first round. The first ever 1-16. So go back to the
fantastic regular season.
But go back to the event. The worst event. It's never happened in the history of basketball. You're the first team.
Yeah.
And not just with Bennett, but all the players, the whole program. We're the first team ever to fail on the most epic scale. No 16's ever been. How embarrassing is that at the time?
Yeah.
And they responded. And so they responded. They won a national championship next year. So that was Gordon's thing. It's like 80% of human beings, the best event of their life is somehow correlated, connected to the worst event of their life. And so, like, I don't know. So we'll see. But, like,
I think about,
gotta respond.
Those are great. Those are great anecdotes, too, because, like, we're big into the Broncos right now, going to the AFC Championship. Before the Broncos won their very first Super Bowl, they lose to an expansion team, kind of a relatively new expansion team in the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it was embarrassing because it was a wild card, whatever. And then they turn around the next year and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of those stories in sports where you have the lowest of lows, and that catapults you into your highest of highs.
We played a Broncos video. Not all these guys are Broncos fans. I am. But it doesn't matter. It's like, okay.
Well, I know even Wisney, who's a Colorado dude, is like not really. Yeah, you know. Because his dad and all that.
But, like, sure. But what was the lowest point of the Broncos under Sean Payton? I would argue it's 70 points at Miami.
Yeah.
They give up 70 pieces.
Yeah. Historic, right? Yeah.
So they go through that, and there's this documentary thing. It talks about that the players thought they were all getting cut. The coach thought they were getting fired. It was a disaster. They gave up 70. They beat 70. They lost by 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it was at that point, I was rooting for Miami. Just go ahead and score 100 points.
So
just do it.
They go back through that, and it's this idea, like, tell the guys, if nothing changes, nothing changes, right? Like, we got to change. But they talk about it, and they're like, well, what'd you do? And, you know, Peyton's like, hey, you know, we got tougher. He's like, you know, this is a Nick Saban thing. He's like, yeah, I stole this from Saban. But, you know, down in a hurricane country, right, where Florida, whatever else, we're all, you know, New Orleans, whatever, down a hurricane, and I guess he probably knows this being the Saints coach, right? In hurricane country, you get a house, and the builders come in and say, okay, you got three types of windows, a 130, 150, or 190. What do you want? Well, what do you think that the ratings are for? It's for the glass strength for the hurricanes, yeah. Right? Do you want the 130, 150, or 190? And so what Peyton said is, like, after we got beat by 70 or gave up 70, the only thing we cared about is we need 190 guys. We don't want 130s and 150s. We need 190s. So it still has to change. But it's like that adversity. I mean, who knows if that catapults them to right now. They're on the doorstep of the – but it's something.
Well, I mean –
Pat Surtain was on that team. He was in that – like, but you know, Bonito was on that team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they just got a bunch of new guys. It's like, look, here's what has to change. We only can deal with 190, you know, glass, temper-resisted, hurricane, like, in its toughness. And that's the fight or flight. You're going to flee from this, or you're going to roll the sleeves up. And it's kind of – I give him one more thing. Steve Young on Tim Ferriss show, he talked about throwing an interception in front of 80,000 people, how embarrassing it is, and how you could – well, you know, the block was wrong and this and that. And it's sort of true, but it's mitigating the circumstances. We've thrown an interception. We're 1-6 as a team. So – are we going to own it? But what Young talked about, too, is like, even though it's brutal, how much fun is it to have – you're in front of 80,000 people. We don't get 80,000 people in the bank, but, like, people do care.
Yeah.
People kill us on social media. People are all – like, it's brutal. But, like, still, like, some people go through life and they never feel this. They go through life. You know what I mean? There's no ups. There's no downs. They just clock in, clock out. So, like, let's embrace the brutalness of this too and find a way out of it.
Well, and the expectations, you're kind of your own worst enemy in that point because the better you do historically.
It's and the last three things.
Yeah, your records
second
have been
place,
really good.
To championship to first place to best start in school history. We've created this narrative and that's the way I want it.
Yeah.
But if you never win, no one cares. Ah, it's just a bad team. Bad Smiley sucks. He's a bad coach. Bad team. Program's terrible. Like, these guys can't win. But that's not what it is, right? Second to first to championship to NIT to one minute away from March Madness to the response to 9-1, right? To all this stuff to beat CU first time to sit like we have, but yeah, you create it. And then next year, it's like, what's wrong with the Bears? Like, I've asked those questions too, but embrace the pain of this thing too, because some people don't ever feel anything. So that's one way to flip it. Too.
There's so many of these stories. There's so many sports stories out there, and I love that you're using that because
you have to.
That's and again, this would be one thing if this was a bad basketball team.
Right.
If you guys struggled in the non-con, and then here we go. You know, injuries. You just don't have. You have. To me, you have like three guys that could maybe they could make a quiet case, but all top Big Sky conference type players.
Yep.
Three of those guys. You got a bunch of dudes that are flashing and showing a lot of great signs. Ringneary, who was having
he was having a rough
go, and then boom, he's been rocking right now.
Amazing, like his response, and again, the response of not from like that dude cares about winning. He plays so hard, but the response, okay, how do we put you in a better situation where it's not just about they're not going to guard you, and you just got to take a shot, like. His activity offensively and finding ways and like the kid's so smart, man. He plays so, but he's so smart too. And I'm just like, yeah, like there are such signs of life on our team too. It's just like we're a little bit this guy's not playing quite as good. Like we got to figure it once it, if we can get this thing together. We're the same team, and we'll probably be better because we've gone through some adversity.
Yeah, I believe that. With Ringneary, obviously you've kind of between Ring and Egan Shields, you've kind of. yeah. mixed and matched a little bit.
Yes.
Especially when Ring was kind of struggling. Okay, let's bring him off the bench. That seemed to kind of mentally help him out. I don't know. And then he started against Montana State.
Right?
Do you see that kind of as an ever-evolving thing?
Yeah, just depending on the matchup. And I'll tell you what, nothing's ever set in stone in the sense of, like, we always talk about the concrete. You're mixing the concrete in the preseason, the non-con, trying to make the best, situation to create, not just your starters, but like, okay, how are we going to play this? How are we going to rotate it? And then the concrete settles. You can still change things, right? But you got to jackhammer the concrete. But I'll say this, like, the way that Ring is playing and his effort and his ability to contribute to winning, there's a lot of concrete settled right there for Ring.
Yeah.
So it's not really about Ring or Egan, but what I'll say is this, is that we started small. We also started Vince Delano. And we started off plus 10-2, okay, to start the game. And then we started in the second half plus 4. So it worked in that game. The thing with this team, though, and with this league is you play Portland State, you're going to have to probably go with Brock and Egan against Terry Miller and Trayvon Minot. Otherwise, it's not putting yourself in the best situation. So the hope eternal is we might start small, okay? We might start traditional. We didn't start Ebo in this last game. So it might be we start small, three guards. It might be we start with a normal lineup with Ebo. It might be we start big with Egan. But I will say from the Ring perspective, Ring has established himself, so we got to get him as many minutes as we can. And like I said, I'm just so proud of him. But it's like we got to – as we look at it, I hate being the guy changing the lineup, We didn't change the lineup one time last year. But with this team and this league and the ever-evolving nature of our team, I do think we at least in a position of strength – we have the ability to play small like we did against Montana State, start small. We have the ability to start more traditional, which would probably mean like the Ring, Ebu 3-4. We have the ability to start big with Egan and Brock. And I think that part of it probably needs to be game to game, that we don't say, well, this is where we are now. I think we got to be the amoeba a little bit too.
Yeah. What do you look at? I mean, I know it's, what is it? It's Thursday, so we have a few games for Saturday, but
yeah.
What are the initial kind of, as far as that thought process of what that lineup looks like?
Well, I think that as I get deeper into, Coach Klope is our scout coach, so we're going to sit down and look at it even more today. It's been a lot more about just trying to, get us right and get us
more about you guys.
But obviously, we're scouting and preparing, and I've watched a lot of NAU, and he's watched a ton of it. But right now, they've had some injuries, and they're, best player, Nick Davidson, big guy, has been out for a little while. I don't know if he's going to be back or not. They're still playing big enough, but they're not playing like crazy big like a Portland State. There's other teams like that too. You look at let me think about this. You look at, the physicality of like an Idaho State. You look at the physicality of Weber State, the 4-5 with Suarez and Gama. But I don't think it's like that. So it might be, play three guards. And I thought, why would you play three guards? It opens up the floor a little bit for us. It opens up the ability for us to drive a little bit better. Why would you not do that? Well, if teams are too big and physical, maybe we can't rebound. So, again, it's just kind of game to game. But I do feel like I was very pleased with how that thing started and rolled around against Montana State. We were right there. We just didn't play quite good enough to get it done. But I thought the move for that game was appropriate. And I thought it started well in both halves. Again, 10-2. And then a plus. We were down 9 at halftime. And at the when we started subbing guys at that first meeting, second half, we were down 5. So there was signs of life in that. Sometimes you change lineups and things just go to – I get nervous about that stuff. But it doesn't mean it changes our value of how we view Ebu or Egan. I thought Arik was great. Arik Mugen, man, he had 10 great minutes, the best he's played. And he stacked it up against some really good minutes against Sacramento State as well. And if we just – he plays so hard, like we need that juice and energy – but the game slowed down a little bit for him, made some really good reads and decisions, and that was encouraging too. So there's some signs of life for sure.
You mentioned at the start of the podcast, Coach, trilogies, like the non-con is season one,
yeah.
The start of the Big Sky. Because I think the start of the Big conference schedule is kind of its own season because it is what it is. You can call it excuse, whatever, but you're starting that right around the holidays or the end of the holidays.
Yeah, it's sure.
Crazy time. Students are out. Schedules are way different for everybody. So that's kind of like season two. And then this final push, the last 10 or 11 games,
yeah.
Kind of like season three. So trilogies, this kind of makes sense. Or season three or third movie, whatever we want to call it. I've always said, like with trilogies for me, the first one's always the best.
Yeah.
Second one's kind of to set up the third one, really. And then the third one's usually pretty epic, too.
That is the hope eternal, right? And like, you talk about trilogies, you talk about, And you missed like Lord of the Rings.
Well, it's just, yeah, the first one was the best, in my opinion.
Yep.
Second one was like setting up the third one, and then the third one was, you know, epic movie.
Yeah, you know, Star Wars. Like, yeah, like, I guess if you just left it on Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, you're right. The first one, it ends positive.
Yeah.
The second one is a debacle.
Everything's despair. It's dark, like, yep, everything's just bad.
It's despair. There's no hope left. If we had enough time, man, we'd probably sit down and make these guys watch Star Wars, like the originals, which is really
they got like
which is
four weeks to watch Lord of the Rings.
Star Wars is 4, 5, 6, right?
Yeah,
like that's the original ones. And then you're right, like the Lord of the Rings, like, you know, I even, you know, think about it like that, but like dark times.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is basically done. How do you flush it? How do you, you know, how does Gandalf turn from Gandalf the Great to Gandalf the White?
You're Gandalf at this point, right? In this scenario.
You know, yeah, maybe I need to, you know, bleach this beard pure white. But yeah, it's you gotta have some faith and some hope. You gotta be a truth teller and trust me, like that's happening. But at the same point in time, it's really bad, guys, but it can turn. And that's why I try to throw in just a few stories, like, you know, a couple little videos like John Gordon. You know, little handout, little visual that, you know, the diamond, like we got this great diamond thing. This dude's chopping away in this tunnel for diamonds. And he's this close to getting to the diamonds and he quits. But then this other dude's a little bit further behind him. He's chopping and chopping, but you can see he's not quitting. He's going to get to those diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, too, is I think we have enough guys that really believe, like, hey, this thing can turn. And we've told on ourselves in a good way, too. You can't be bad and beat CU. You can't do it.
Yeah, no.
You can't be bad. And
hang, you know, hang with Texas Tech.
Yeah, talking to their coaches, like, literally, you outplayed us. You should have beat us. And they literally beat Duke. They beat BYU. They might win the national championship. And we went toe-to-toe with those guys in front of 10,000 people.
Without Quinn Danker.
And Egan, because he got knocked out. You can't do that and be a bad team. Portland, you can't go into Portland on a road game and beat those guys. Are they? Yeah, like, they just beat Oregon State by 20. They just won at it. They blew out LMU at it. Like, you can't do that. You cannot be a bad team. St. Thomas is going to win the Summer League. We had them beat and just for 39 minutes, and they hit literally a 80-foot shot. You can't be a bad team. You cannot tell me that it's the same team. But we got to get right. And, again, if nothing changes, nothing changes. We got to respond. And that's the beauty of sport because, again, at the end of the day, like, you know, 10 years from now, we're all probably forget some of this. But, like, if you can find a different gear, if you can dig in, if you can have fight but not flight,
mm-hmm.
then you can become a better human being. When your family goes through something, you know, got a child gets sick. It's fight or flight, homie. You know, like, it's what it is. You know, get in a car wreck. Like, you're laid up in the hot. Like, this is the character building of this whole thing that it is more than, like, the winning and losing. Like, that stuff all goes away. No one cares. Like, yeah, I care that we get a banner? Sure. But, like, no one really cares. But, like, if you can find some way to teach these young men to fight through this, right, then maybe you're instilling a life lesson. I mean, it's like I said, like, I think, like, 30% of adults are going to get some form of cancer. Okay, so, like, we've done this before. It's like, all right. 16 of you dudes, and there's, I don't know, 5, 21, 30%. It's about 7.
Hmm.
So you, me, let's stand up. Let's look around. 7 of the 21 of us, we're going to hit cancer. How are you going to respond to that? You going to just lay up the towel, or are you going to say, hey, what are the treatments? What can I do? Even when I'm going through something, can I still pour into my family? Can I still pour into people that I care about? Like, and it's not just about me. Like, these are the lessons we're trying to teach these guys. So, yeah, it's about – right now it just feels about winning and losing. And don't give me – it is a Division I basketball. We're trying to win championships. But can you find a way to be about something a little bit bigger than that too? And that's the beauty of this thing.
Well, yeah, because you – at the end of the day, you carry this away and, you know, only one team's truly happy. You know, they win the tournament and they go to March Madness. But everything else is, you know, hey, it was a good season, great season. We won the championship, regular season championship. But you still have that goal up there. The more important thing is what do you carry away from a season like this?
That's right.
You didn't have a ton of adversity last year. I mean,
no.
You guys were pretty good from start to finish this year. And so with that, you take away last year, you take away, well, yeah, regular season, Big Sky champs, never done it before. That's amazing. But this kind of lesson can be, hey, we were 1-6. We were down on our luck. And we turned it around. Yeah. We put ourselves in a good position in the tournament, and let the rest kind of fall where it may.
Yeah, like what if? What if we hit this heater, real quick? What if we just change a couple little things? What if we hit this heater and we blaze through this thing? One of the best teams we ever had with Coach Linder was with Dre and JD and those guys. Holy moly, we were good, man. Okay. But the league was loaded. We finished fifth out of 12. So what happens is the top four got a bye. Five played 12, six played 11, seven played 10, eight. So we dropped into the 5-12 game. The thing we're trying to avoid, right? Playing another game. But, man, we were good. And we had JD, Dre, Jonah. We were good. Really, really good. We ended up winning the CIT National Championship. That was that team. Mm. We were fifth place. We had like 22 wins, so we were good. But it was just a bloodbath at the top, and we just were a little bit behind a couple of teams. We go at the 5-12 game, and we play NAU, and we beat them by 35. Now we're feeling really good about life. So now it's the 5-4 game. We play Weber State, who's really good, beat him by 30. Now we're in the semis. We played Montana in that epic game. And we not only were good enough to beat him, we should have beat him. And that was the game where we had the last shot. Dre, they ran at him, doubled him. He took a Dre shot that dude makes at a high level. Because they ran at him, Tanner Morgan was open for the tip-in. He goes for the tip, and the guy runs behind him, shoves him. Two free throws, 75% free throw shooter to win the game. We win that game. We're going to March Madness. And God bless we missed the two free throws. I felt so bad for the kid. Losing overtime. But we were so good. And that team still, even though it said, hey, you're the 5 seed, I still remember it. We lost before the tournament at Sacramento State. And they were not good. They were not good. And we lost on their senior night. And everything fell apart. And we couldn't even get back to Greeley. We had to drive over to Miles from Sac to Reno. The thing was in Reno. Mm. We drive over to Reno. And Coach Thunder did such a great job saying, we're going to be okay. Now, he could be a really, like, gnarly negative. Like, you know, he was like, hey, I actually feel really good about this. I think we're really. And I remember sitting in a subway with these dudes being like, yeah, I totally agree. And it was down. It's like, we just lost Sac State. You know, and that's probably what bumped us to the 5 seed, which is like, oh, now we're the 5. Now we got to drive over, like, you know what I mean? Shorter rest, more games. And he got that team right. And that's like my job or staff's job. Like, we got to get our team right. And I feel like we are, you know.
That's how I feel really watching this team is 1-6 is whatever. But if you just removed that, like I said, and watch 80% of any random basketball game for you guys, it just looks like this is a top-tier team. The problem is most of the losses you've had, these are teams that could all make a case for winning the whole thing, too.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, and that's how tight this thing is.
It's really tight.
And if you flip this around, you know, we talked about the close scores at the beginning of the season. It's like, well, if you flip that around, we're struggling. Well, you could say the same thing now.
Yeah.
you've had a lot of those. When you look at this, and kind of one of the last ones just specifically to the games, you talk about the free throws. We're talking about rebounding,
that's
too.
Right.
Talking about foul trouble. Is there one thing you look at and say, yeah, that is kind of the main difference right now in these close games between winning and losing?
I think it's those, the three things that we emphasize. Teams. I hate to say just one, but it would always start with rebounding. And it's not just necessarily, well, we out-rebounded or we didn't. Because, like, dude, if you shoot great, you're not going to get any offensive rebounds. But it's our rebound effort. You know, we chart that effort. You know, everyone's effort in every shot has got to hit 80% or better. And that's correlated to us being an elite rebounding team across the country. You know, last year we were second in the country not giving up offensive rebounds. We were up to, like, 12th. There's 360-plus teams.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have the biggest, most athletic team. I think everyone would agree with that. So that's travel. That's work. And that's all the way back to Coach Linder and whatever. But starts with that, and it wasn't like it went bad, but it wasn't great. And it got back to great against Montana State, plus 19. So we can't – so that's the start. The foul thing, I do believe that when you walk into a game down 15-0, it's hard to win a game. And that's – what I mean by that is when you're fouling at the highest rate in the league, which has never been us, and it wasn't us until league play, just our details have not been good enough. And maybe we had to do some different things strategically to not let guys get downhill and – double the post. Like, there's things we can do, too. It's not just on the guys. And then we have not got to the free throw line. First free throw is with 40 seconds left. And if we didn't get a bad whistle, some of the best refs in the country Monday night. It's bizarre. Those things, I'm scratching my head. But, you know, so rebounding, free throws, and then second half defense. First half defense in all these losses has been elite. Elite. And I showed the guys. I was like, I remember 28 points in the first half to whatever team turns into 48. 31 points in the first half turns into 54. 27 points turns into, like, You go through it. Yeah. And I have it all.
You hold Portland State to 28 points in that first half.
It's crazy how it's just crumbled. Again, it's on me. Like, well, what are we not doing strategically? But like Portland State, that's a great example. Guys, they don't have a plan B. They will keep running the same stuff over and over. The plan is right. Keep executing, keep executing, keep executing. And we didn't. We failed. We had three catastrophic scout mistakes in the second half of the game. Ended up being 7 points, lost the buzzer. Things that had nothing to do with what they were doing, we just failed. We're not firing. When Brock's on Terry, we went 1-on-1, and one of our guys lost and went to trap him. No. And we gave up a layup, a dunk, really. And another one was 1-on-1. Terry Miller drove down, flipped his hips. A guy ran in there, tried to steal the ball. No, it wasn't Terry Miller. It was Jalen Henderson. 1-on-1, Jalen, guard, really good player, but we did a great job guarding him. And another guy just went left, actually off of Terry Miller. They threw out to him, he bangs a three. That was not the scout. And so, like, those little things, and there was only three mistakes, but those three mistakes, 4-5 switch. Our four's guarding Terry, and our five's guarding Trayvon Minot, and they set a ton of 4-5 ball screens. And we switched it to perfection in the first half, they had 20 points. When it was like 2 minutes left, came up, it's the same ball screen. We didn't switch it. We put two on Terry, threw it to Trayvon. He goes, boom, dunks it. So, like, that was the challenge going to Montana State, and it got better, right? So I think we're trending in the right direction. And I know we're not seeing the results, and it's frustrating, but, like, if you just dive into the stats and the film, okay, there's signs of life. But I would say, to your point, rebounding, free throws, second half defense.
College basketball, when you get into conference play, always kind of reminds me of NBA playoff basketball. Because NBA playoff basketball is way different than regular season. So every possession in the playoffs is way bigger. Regular season's like, you could fall asleep watching an NBA game. It could be a 15-point game, and then you wake up 2 minutes left. It could be a really tight game.
Oh, whatever. Yeah.
Playoffs, it's like, we're going to go back to that one sequence in the second period, and that was maybe the reason why this team lost in the playoffs. With conference play, I look at that too, and you bring up like three sequences. It's such a mental game where three times mentally, if you go away, that could be the difference between winning and losing these games, and that kind of comes down to it.
That's it. And it's going back through. It's like 9-1, we could easily have been 6-4, 7-3. But 2-8, we could easily be 5-5. I mean, we lost the last four possessions, last four games by one possession. Weber State, our ball under the hoop, 2-point game, got switch, offensive foul. Mm-hmm. Okay, that did happen. Then we went up to Portland State. We had three free throws to tie it with about 10 seconds to go. We went 2-3. So we didn't tie it. We had to foul them. They missed both. Came down the same scenario with Quinn posting up that was at CU. Quinn hit the shot, right? Well, they kind of doubled, threw it out. We missed a three to win it. We missed it. Hey, make or miss game. Sac State, we're up 18 with 9 minutes to go. And it's those 9 minutes that I'm concerned about in the sense of psyche. Because, like, no one's panicky after Portland State. Man, we're doing all the right things. That felt like a Big Sky championship game. We went toe-to-toe with the team that's undefeated because we think we're as good as those guys. And it wasn't a fluke. It was a close game. That was just a great game. But Sac State, as bad as it was on the comeback, you know, we're up one. We missed front of a 1-on-1 with 40 seconds left. We make those two, maybe we win the game, right? And then you go to Montana State. We had a shot to tie the game. So, again, like, water will find its mark. We have good players, and I'm proud of the guys that take the shots. Someone's got to be willing to take it, you know? And it's like a ZB. He's had a couple of those are great looks. I sent the old Michael Jordan, you know, the little the graphic. You know what I'm talking about, right? I failed 9,088,000 times, and that is why I succeeded. Yeah. And I said it to him. I said, hey, man, I know you're a LeBron guy, but this is – because he loved LeBron. I said, I know you're a LeBron guy, but this is relevant. I'm proud of you for taking the shots, man. And everyone has belief in you. Taking that shot, keep firing them up. And he said, it's funny, Coach, you sent that. I'm sitting in a barber chair, and that poster is staring at me right now.
That's awesome.
That's weird,
well,
right?
That's something.
But it's like, yeah, man, like, hey, someone's got to take the shot. Mm-hmm. And he's not the only one. I have comments on a lot of these guys taking that shot. But when you take the shot, sometimes you're not going to make them. You know, when you're the head coach and you lose, you got to take the battering. You know what I mean? Danker, mid-major national player of the week. National player of the week. I mean, people tell him how great he is, and he was. Now, like, the hate that he's receiving, and I hate it for these guys. They hate the, and that's where like the, you know, the gamblers and the degenerates.
Yeah.
And it's a real thing now.
So crazy.
They attack these dudes. And like, it goes back to the, everyone kind of laughs at the Gundy thing. I'm 40. I'm a man. But I'm telling you, it's a real thing. And that was back the day before it got really into social media. You know, anyone can hit these kids up and say some crazy stuff with no repercussions. And it does, it's brutal. And so like, you know, yeah, like you got to check in these guys too. And,
That is just wild.
It's crazy.
It is
wild. And people think like, no one really cares about this Big Sky basketball. This ain't the Big 12. But then you see like the Big Sky will send reports out to like how much money is bet on Big Sky men's basketball.
Yeah.
Millions and millions and millions of dollars. And so
you add ESPN Plus to that. Like we said, you can watch any basketball game you want at any time.
Access is everywhere, which is great. Like it's a good thing for the sport, but there's always a downside to all the stuff. And so like someone's going to have to take the brunt. And what happens is if you get into your own deal, but you don't worry about your teammate, like that's when it becomes a problem, right? So it's like, hey, just keep pouring in, man. Keep pouring in. Water's like this thing's going to reverse Peyton when they're like, man, 70. Give him 70. The boat capsized. He said, Sean Payton said, I never felt like the boat capsized. Mm. I felt like we were taking water. Like, yeah, we were taking water, but I never felt like the boat capsized. And that's a pretty powerful thing, too.
That and that whole story, there was a lot of talk about firing Vance Joseph as the defensive coordinator at
and
that
now he's
point.
The greatest and coach now in the world.
He's probably going to be the next head coach of the Cardinals. We'll see.
He's a defensive genius.
Yeah.
He wasn't when they gave up 70.
No, it was like, we should have brought him back to Denver. And then, boom, he's going to leave Denver, but as a head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how these things go.
That's how it goes. So, like, you got to take the good with the bad. You know, you want to sit in the chair, you got to own it. And so it's like, you know, it's just like at least, and that was the coolest thing with the Steve Young thing, saying at least we're alive. It's painful. But at least some people never get a feel. They just kind of go through life, and which is fine. They just kind of clock in, clock out. They don't get the situation to be in a room to say, man, we suck.
Yeah.
How do we get out of this? Like, but it's like Steve Young saying, yeah, at least it was kind of cool that I threw that interception in front of 80,000 people, and I could feel this collective groan of my failure.
Yeah.
At least it was kind of cool. Like, it's brutal. But
something
like,
powerful right there. Even if it was negative, it's still like, this means life. So much to so many people.
Yeah. You're alive. You know you're alive.
Northern Arizona on Saturday, Coach. Idaho. Then you guys kind of you're going to get back to after this week, of course, more of a regular Big Sky kind of scheduling. Final week, I guess.
And I don't think the final week. I think it's still 2 games of 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there's no more 3 games of 5 days. There's a lot of home games coming up, not this weekend, at NAU, at our travel partner. But then it's like, hey, man, like, you know, 5 or first 8 on the road. One of the home games was on the tail end of a road trip, 3 and 5 days. It hasn't been nice. It has not been built for success. So we got to keep that in mind, too. At the same point in time, you are what your record says you are. You got to change it.
Yeah.
So we got to get it going here.
Big one coming up. Looking forward to it, Coach. Always appreciate it, man.
You bet.
Good, bad, or ugly, you're always ready to go. We're always ready to talk about this, but I think this is a good basketball team, and we're about to see the W results here very soon.
I love it. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week.
The Two-Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star Hoover, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!